This is the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast, episode 42. Today, we're going to have a look at the concept of an essential oil deep dive. What exactly is an essential oil deep dive? What are the components of it? Can we do one ourselves? If we do, what sort of information do we want to gather for the deep dive? And where can I find that information?
You're listening to the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast with your host, Liz Fulcher. If you're interested in learning about essential oils, hearing interviews with industry experts, and discovering ways to grow your own aromatherapy business, this is the podcast for you. For more information and show notes, visit the website at aromaticwisdominstitute.com. Now, sit back, relax, take a deep breath, and enjoy as Liz shares a dose of aromatic wisdom.
Hi, friends, and welcome to another episode of the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast. My name is Liz Fulcher. I'm your host. And today we're going to talk about essential oil deep dives, and I'm going to deep dive into the topic of deep dives. Before I do, I actually want to just quickly share a couple of comments that I received from some of you, my beautiful listeners, after the last episode, 041, on blessings, blessing new beginnings. I got quite a few responses. Some of them were simply, "Oh, we're glad you're back," which is delightful. I'm happy that people are happy I'm back. But I got a couple really lovely comments, so I would just want to share those with you. Christina, who is a student, has been my student for many years in the energetic realm. She took a class of mine. She flew up from Florida to Pennsylvania to take a class in the energetics of essential oils. And she says, "Liz, thank you for such an uplifting podcast. I loved the ideas, and you inspired me to bless my room prior to my evening prayers. I'm thinking of using hydrosols like sandalwood, jasmine, palo santo, cistus, gorgeous, I love cistus, neroli, and rose. I also like to get a small bowl with some salt to absorb energy, and add a few drops of a clearing and or protective oil and place it near my windows or my front door," which I think is a great idea. I love that you shared that, Christina. Thank you, sweetheart. A dear friend of mine, Maureen, that I've known for probably 30 years, she and I used to work together in Rome. She says, "Hi, Liz, I just listened to your podcast as I'm starting a new painting." She's an artist. Maureen says, "It was so nice to hear your voice. You are really good at this," which you're really good at painting, Maureen. So that's one of the benefits of getting older. You kind of start to see where your wheelhouse is and you do more of it. Maureen says, I'm excited that you listened. And have you considered blessing your new work of art? It's another thing to consider, you know, bless any creative project that you're endeavoring. Blessing does not have to be a big deal. It can simply be the words thank you. Simply saying thank you is probably one of the highest vibrational blessings that you can express. Anyway, I just wanted to share a couple of those comments. I read everything that you post, everything that you send me, and I appreciate it. It really does nourish me. Okay, on to today's topic of essential oil deep dives. Before I start, I invite you to get a pen and paper, because I'm going to be giving a big list of information that may or may not be in the show notes. You might want to just open a Google Doc and bash out your notes, or old school pen and paper. That's my style. So go ahead and hit pause. I'll wait. I'm going to cover four things on the topic of deep dives. The first is a definition. Would not be the Aromatic Wisdom Podcast if I didn't start with a definition. Number two, how to conduct a deep dive and why you should. Number three, what kind of information would you include in your deep dive? And number four, where do you find detailed information on essential oils that you can include in your deep dive? Let's get started with number one. What is a deep dive? The definition is to conduct an in-depth examination or analysis of a topic. So if you're conducting a deep dive analysis of one essential oil, you're learning all aspects of that essential oil. And I'm going to give you a list of what aspects I'm talking about. There are no rules. This is like deep dives according to Liz Fulcher. So, you know, what constitutes an essential oil deep dive can be as extensive and all-encompassing as you wish. But the idea is to get a lot of information. So don't keep it too superficial. Number two, how does one go about conducting an essential oil deep dive? What do you do? You're going to do research on an essential oil. You're going to experience an essential oil in depth over a period of time. I recommend starting a new month with an oil. Say this month, February. Actually, February, I'm doing a deep dive with my students, and you can sign up for that. I'll give you the link at the end on Rose. So let's just say you assign February as the month that you're going to learn everything about Rose, and you begin doing research, reading books, reading articles, reading blog posts, looking up research websites and databases. And I'm going to be giving you links to a lot of places where you can find information. So as you're gathering this information, taking notes, writing down your findings, you're beginning to put together your own unique monograph of Rose. That'll be a document that you can always refer to. I am going to give you a list when we get to number three of all the things that should or could go in a monograph. A monograph is a body of work that takes one thing in depth. I also invite you to buy that oil in every form in which it is made. So whether if it comes in a hydrosol, an essential oil, an absolute, a CO2, purchase one of each. And begin to experience the differences in all the aromatic products that are made from that one plant. Begin to use that essential oil in all its forms. You may need to, you know, that'll be part of your research. You may need to discern how would I use a concrete, how would I use an absolute versus an essential oil versus a hydrosol. That is part of your study. Actually, what I'm suggesting is pretty extensive, and that might be appropriate in a comparison deep dive, comparing Rose hydrosol to Rose CO2 to Rose essential oil. If you just want to work with one essential oil, then that's the theme of that deep dive. I just want to learn about one oil. I don't care about all the other aspects, all the other things that are made from that plant. Just want to work with the essential oil and learn all about its therapeutic properties, its history, and so forth. And of course, you want to be using, if you have a month of study in that month, you are using your chosen essential oil in as many ways and in every opportunity that you can. See if you can do a case study. Somebody has a therapeutic issue or an emotional issue, and it's appropriate to use that oil. Do a case study. Use it on yourself. Diffuse it in your home. Add it to your body lotion and use it after your shower. Keep the bottle close to you. Sit with it and hold it and meditate with it. Ask it what lessons it has to offer you. You can be clinical. You can do it energetically. You can do both, which is actually what I recommend. And spend time really getting to know this friend on another level. By the time your period of with Rose, let's say the 28 days in February, that you spend 5 days of the week doing something with Rose and learning about Rose and filling out the monograph, by the 1st of March, you will really have an in-depth cellular knowledge of that aromatic and the plant from which it was extracted. And of course, it doesn't end there. You can continue to add to the monograph, continue to add pages, cut out articles, print out articles, blog posts, and just keep on compiling the information that you find on this one aromatic. And you're, as I said, you're creating your own unique personalized documentation about that particular aromatic. Okay, let's move on. We looked at number one, which was the definition of a deep dive. We looked at number two, which is what is a deep dive? How do you conduct one? Now let's look at number three. What kind of information should you research and include in your deep dive, including your monograph? This is when you're going to want to get out your Google Doc, your pen and paper, because I'm going to just start listing the types of things that I include in my own monographs. You ready? Okay, the very first thing that you're going to want to identify is the plant Latin binomial, the plant from which your aromatic was extracted. What is the scientific name? What is the genus and species? Then you're going to want to look at the various common names that that plant goes by. It's good to know that because in conversation it can be confusing if people from different countries call the plant by different common names, which is really why you want to know the Latin binomial. After the common name, I always like to look at the botanical family of the plant. Next, I look at the method of extraction for whatever product I am studying and deep diving into. Next is country of origin and plant distribution. This is probably more significant than you might think. Where the plant comes from can make a real impact on its therapeutic properties and its aroma. Also, it's just really good to know, to get a sense of where in the world the voyage this oil has had from Japan, from Australia, from Nepal into your hands. And it also gives you a sense of its origins. You know, what was the political climate of that country? Is that energy going into my essential oil? Also, it's just really good to be smart about these things. So here, I'll give you an example. My most recent deep dive was in juniper berry because I'm currently in the middle of this three-part series of deep dives into juniper berry, rose, and cypress. And as I was studying juniper berry to teach my students, I noticed that a couple of essential oils came from New Macedonia. And I sort of know where New Macedonia is, but I thought, I'm going to look it up. Well, it is in a region of the world called the Balkans. So I got out a map, I looked up the Balkans, and I kind of studied all the countries that comprise the Balkans, like Bosnia and Herzegovina, Bulgaria, Croatia, Kosovo, of course, North Macedonia, Romania, Serbia, Slovenia. Actually, going back to Bulgaria, a lot of juniper berry comes from Bulgaria, some of the best juniper berry. So I even read some of the history of the country, which, of course, the Balkans has had a lot of turmoil in the last decades. Now, I have such a better understanding of that part of the world. When an essential oil comes from one of those countries, I know where it is, and I just have a deeper connection with the oil's country of origin. Also, on a more clinical level, you know, if we're talking about comparisons, look at the GCMS reports of oils from different countries. For example, with juniper berry, I have several bottles of juniper berry. My favorite comes from Bulgaria, aromatically. And there must be something unique to Bulgaria that gives it that aroma. So it's a good way, just again, to get familiar with what countries produce what oils and what is that oil like. Okay, moving on to the next thing. Look at the history of how the plant has been used, especially for healing. This information you can often find in herbal books. You want to look at the chemistry. What are the primary chemical families? That'll immediately give you some idea about the properties of the oil. And then look at the top five or six components that give that oil its action. All of this is going in your monograph. Next, I look at the characteristics of the oil itself. Is it thick and viscous and heavy? Is it thin and watery? Get it out, touch it, feel it. This is one case when I say, go ahead and use it neat. Put a little bit in your hand, rub your hands together, wash your hands afterward, and get a feel for it. Is it sticky? How does it smell? Is it a top note, a middle note, a base note? you know, after you experience it, write your impressions of the aroma, write your impressions of the characteristics. Oh, I didn't know that it was yellow. I always thought it was clear. But this batch or this particular oil, I can see now is a soft yellow color. Next, allow an entire page of your monograph for the therapeutic actions of the oil. The indications for the oil. The indications usually means the kind of conditions that it helps. So I always put the therapeutic actions, the indications, and then I always like to make a list of some suggested ways that I'm going to use that oil or ways that I could use it. I also make a list of ways I've used it that was successful. Sometimes I've had success with an oil that wasn't really on any list, that it was really great for that particular condition or eczema or panic or whatever. Next, you want to make a heading of safety and make that very clear. Make sure that you really are studying the safety of the oil. And for this, I recommend the gold standard for safety in aromatherapy. And that is the book called Essential Oil Safety, written by Robert Tisserand. Next, I like to list a whole page of recipes for different conditions. And you can list this by condition and put some recipes underneath it. So you've got some really quick references for how to use that oil or how to make a recipe with that oil. Next, if subtle aromatherapy is your thing, actually, even if it isn't, I would make a section in your study, in your monograph, for the vibrational and energetic aspects of that oil. You may not personally, well, first of all, you have to do what resonates with you. If you're purely clinical and you don't care about the energetics, that's okay. This is your monograph. I really prefer having a document that is holistic, that encompasses the whole of whatever I'm studying. If you are currently in, or at some point, in a aromatherapy certification program, it's very likely that you'll have to do a research paper. Do a research paper on one oil. I've had students in my certification program do, three that come to mind immediately. I've had two students do research papers on frankincense. I've had two do them on peppermint and one do a very extensive research paper on Lavandula angustifolia, lavender. I think that's a good place to start. The other thing that you might want to do is create for yourself a deep dives notebook, and throughout the month, take notes as you think of questions, as you think of things carried around with you, as you use an oil, as you diffuse it, take little notes. I personally have a book called Essential Oil Materia Medica. I also have one called Hydrosol Materia Medica. I include data sheets, monographs, articles, links to websites, suppliers. It's kind of old school, but that's what works for me. You can also make a digital binder and put all, you know, because probably most of what you're going to be finding is available online. The only problem is, not even a problem, but if you do find something that is paper, like a magazine article, you can always scan it and include it in your digital binder. Remember, this is for you. This is your personalized record, and quite frankly, it's going to be a pretty valuable resource when you're working with aromatics, or when you go to, if you want to write an article, if you want to regurgitate any of the information on that aromatic, you're going to be glad you have had all this information. Again, I'm going to reiterate to use the aromatic every chance that you get in the time that you've given yourself to study. If you distill, by all means, get the plant and distill it. You also might want to keep a stock of unscented body lotion, unscented shampoo, unscented conditioner, aloe vera gel, you know, other carriers. Now, depending on the cost of what you're immersing yourself in, use that oil every chance you get. I will tell you, if you're a massage therapist, you're in luck because it's very easy to experience an oil for a deep dive when you have a massage therapy practice. When I was a busy massage therapist, every once in a while, I would just say, I really am not familiar with rhododendron essential oil or something like that. I'd find an oil that really was not something I'd experienced or used much. And I would use it in every massage so that I, if nothing else, I became really familiar with the aroma when it was diluted, when it was full strength, when it was at a high dilution, low dilution. And then because I was using it with my clients, I was reading about it, studying the safety. How can I best use this oil with this person? Really a fast education. If you're not a massage therapist, you can still use the oils on yourself, use them on family members, give everyone a foot massage that week on using that oil. The other thing is that in massage therapy is I got to see my client's response. So if I'm using it on, you know, in 5 days a week with these clients, I would always ask for feedback. What did you think of this oil? Oh, I didn't even notice. I was so relaxed. Or I didn't really love it, Liz. I'm sorry. Oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. You know, I always tell my massage clients, if you don't like something the way it smells, it doesn't hurt my feelings. That's like saying you don't like the color blue. It has nothing to do with me, but I always make a note of it. Now, I know you're listening to me going, Liz, what about sensitization if I'm using the oil every day for a month? Well, first of all, the chances of you using it to the extent that you're going to be sensitized in a couple of weeks, especially if you're diluting it, which I hope you are, it's not going to happen. I'm really not that concerned. If you're using the oil in different forms, in a shampoo, in a body lotion, in an oil for the feet, in diffusion, you'll get to know it really, really well. And I now, obviously, if you have a reaction after the fourth or fifth time using it, please stop. Let that be part of your research. Okay, I'm going to move now on to number four. I'm going to give you some suggested resources where you can find information to add to your monograph. I'm just going to give you a handful to get you started. The resources that I'm about to share will be found in the show notes on the page where the download of this podcast is, and that is aromaticwisdominstitute.com/042. Okay, I'm just going to go ahead and name the websites. The links will be in the show notes. Let's start with the American Botanical Council, Science Direct, PubMed, Google Scholar, ChemWiki, the Robert Tisserand Essential Oil Safety Book, which can be found on Amazon. I'll put a link to Amazon where the book is in the show notes. And the Aromahead Institute has a really nice database on chemical components. A couple of blog posts. Well, first of all, if you go to my blog, thearomaticwisdominstitute.com/blog, there are all the blog posts I've written. I do podcast a little more than I blog now, but I've written a bunch of them in the last, since I think 2012 is when I started blogging. So poke around in there. You'll find a lot of information. Of course, my podcast, aromaticwisdompodcast.com. Two other good resources are aromaweb.com and tisserandinstitute.org/blog. Robert Tisserand has a really good blog. I almost forgot. I want to add this. If you're a member of the Alliance of International Aromatherapists, AIA, you'll have access to a fantastic group called the AIA Journal and Research Group. I'm going to put a link into the show notes to become how to become a member of AIA. And also NAHA, NAHA.org is another aromatherapy organization where there's a blog and you can get some information there. And I would be totally remiss if I don't mention my own deep dive series a little bit more in depth. I've created a 3-month series called Uplift Your Spirit. January, we looked a deep dive of juniper berry. February, we're looking at rose. And in March, cypress. January was for new beginnings and clearing. Rose is for love and so much else, which we will cover. And juniper berry I chose for March because it's a time of transition, and cypress is fabulous for transitions. If you're interested in signing up, you're more than welcome to. January, you'll get the replay. February and March, you can sit in live in the class with me in Zoom. And if you're listening to this podcast after the series is finished, you can still purchase the deep dives. You'll get the replays and at probably a much higher price, actually, than if you were to sign up now. I will put a link to that in the show notes. But if you go to aromaticwisdominstitute.com, click on courses, you'll see the Lift Your Spirit series. Okay, let's lighten the mood a bit as we all take a moment to smell my life. This week's Smell My Life is kind of a two-parter. In the last Aromatic Wisdom podcast episode, I talked about using juniper berry for cleansing and creating a new space and a new energy. So, after that episode, I thought, well, I'm going to clean out my purse. So I emptied my whole handbag and cleaned out the inside with peppermint essential oil and juniper berry essential oil. I dampened a washcloth, sprinkled a couple of drops of both, and first just cleaned out the inside. You know, the lining had crumbs and just purse dirt. And after it was cleaned, I also kind of put my hands on the purse and said a blessing that whatever comes in is nourishing and from good sources, and whatever goes out nourishes and creates abundance for the people who receive whatever comes out of my purse. I then put everything back into my purse, including a couple of masks. My grandson came to visit. We went to a store. Do you have a mask with you, buddy? And he said, no, I don't, Nan. I said, not to worry. I've got one here. I pulled it out. He put it on. He looked at me. He said, Nana, do you have peppermint in your purse? I said, I don't, but I used it to clean my purse. My mask smells so good, Nana, because the vapors from the peppermint, not so much the juniper berry, but the peppermint infused his mask. It was one of the disposable masks, and he loved it because it wasn't so much that it burned or was uncomfortable. It was just this gentle peppermint aroma. And I thought, gosh, we should just get a big Ziploc bag, put all our masks in there with like a tissue with one drop of peppermint. It would infuse all the masks. So that's my two-parter. I cleaned my purse and my grandson got the benefit of a minty mask. That is it for episode 42 on essential oil deep dives. I really hope that this was helpful to you. You can always write to me and ask questions, liz@aromaticwisdom.com. And again, you can still sign up for the Lift Your Spirit Deep Dive series, aromaticwisdominstitute.com. Look for courses, and you can sign up right there. Okay, this was a fun episode. I really enjoyed sharing it with you. I hope that you are nourished and have more knowledge than when you hit play. Until next time, be happy, be well.